We're going to talk about the scripture from the book of John, chapter 6. This is, some preachers follow what they a recommended scripture for the week to preach from. This is the recommended scripture from the week to preach from. And I've titled it, Why Are You Looking for Jesus? Why are you looking for Jesus? Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Now, just to fill you in on this, this is right after, the day after, he fed the 5,000. So the day before, he fed the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves. So the next day, they come looking for him. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, so for those of you who aren't familiar what they're talking about here, they're saying there was all this time, 40 years, that our relatives were in the wilderness, and during that time, Moses gave them bread to eat every day, fresh manna, bread from heaven on the ground. And they would go out and gather it up and there would be enough for that day. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Does this remind you of anything else? Remember when Jesus is with the woman at the well and he says, if you drink from, I can give you the water so that you'll never thirst again. And she says, give me that water. From now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. There's a picture of Jesus looking and seeing all the people coming for him. And so the sermon title today, Why Are You Looking for Jesus? Most of the time in the Bible, don't you feel like that people were looking for Jesus to get something from him? What's a story that you can think of where somebody was coming and looking for Jesus and maybe finds him? For healings all the time. Always wanting healed. The wine at the wedding. They wanted him to change. Lazarus. The sisters sent for Jesus because Lazarus was sick. When he was born, the shepherds came. Were they coming to get something from him? See, I have later here, sometimes people aren't coming to get something from Jesus. Like the woman, what came to my mind was the woman who broke the alabaster box, the jar, broke the jar of perfume on his feet to anoint him. She wasn't coming to get something from him. And I don't think the shepherds were coming to get something from him. The wise men, so at his birth, that one didn't cross my mind at people. But most of the time, someone's looking for Jesus. They're looking to get something from him. Do you have anybody, any relatives that if the phone rings and maybe you've got them in your caller ID and you look at your cell phone or you look at your caller ID at your home, you know where I'm going with this, right? When we were on our trip to Haiti last week, there was one guy with us, and he's got a son who's probably 30 years old, and he said, I hadn't heard from him for a couple weeks, and the phone rang, and he said, "Hey, Dad, you excited?" This goes something like this. "Hey, Dad, you excited about your trip to Haiti?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going." This was the first time this guy had been to Haiti. And he said, well, this was a couple weeks before he was going to Haiti. He said, "By the way, you didn't forget that next week you're watching my dogs, right?" Isn't that how it goes? Whenever someone calls, they say, a throwaway line to make it, "Oh, and while I've got you on the phone, can you do this for me? While I've got you on the phone," you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Imagine how Jesus had to feel. Every time someone came around, it's like, "What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?" Our phone rang this morning at home. I was over here, but whatever time it was. If the phone rings at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's not someone calling to see how you are, is it? Of course, no one ever calls to see how you are, do they? Does anybody ever call just to see how you are? Yeah? Okay, well, you're blessed. Most of the time, when you call somebody or somebody calls you, now Diane calls her mom and she doesn't want anything. You call Medina and you don't want anything. By the time she's talked to her mom for a while, she does want one thing, and that's to get off the phone. And her mom doesn't have the internet, so she won't hear this sermon. When they said, "What sign are you going to give us so that we may believe? What work are you going to perform?" Jesus said, "I am the sign. I am the work. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him." And so the question for each of us is, why are we looking for Jesus? And the answer needs to be to get Jesus. That needs to be the answer. Why are you looking for Jesus? To get Jesus. I remember a sermon I heard one time from a guy, and he said, we treat Jesus as if he's a genie to be kept in the corner, and whenever we need something, we rub the lamp, and then it's like, poof, what do you need? Here I am, what do you need? We want stuff. We want safety. We want comfort. We want control. I just wrote down a few things that we want, or that I want. We want affirmation. I'm thinking of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, you do this, this, this. And he's going, hey, got it under control, big guy. And he says, then also go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. He wasn't really wanting, the rich young ruler really wasn't wanting Jesus. He was wanting affirmation. You're doing a good job. We never come to Jesus and say, where am I lacking? And I don't say never, but usually we're not coming to Jesus saying, Lord, show me where I'm lacking. Show me how you want to change me. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Why are you looking for Jesus? People rarely call the church looking for Jesus. I'd probably freak out if they called and said, is Jesus there? And then in a few minutes, I'd get another call. Hey, this is Jesus. Have there been any messages? People, why do people call the church? They need something. They need something. They need an electric bill paid. They need we don't have gas here. They need firewood. They need food. Heard you have a food pantry. Every once in a while, I've had one call that I can remember since I've been here, and a person called and said, can I come in and talk to you? And I said, yeah. I said, when? And they said, well, I'm out in the parking lot right now. And I said, okay, come on in. And they came in and talked to me. And do you know what they were looking for? Jesus. That hardly ever happens. Most people are looking for Jesus to be a means to an end. And Nathan? No. Tell me again. Logan. Logan? Okay. I'm glad you're here today because I just said a means to an end, and you don't know what that means. And there might be some people here who don't know what that means, but I'd be insulting them if I explained it to them. But I can explain it to you, and it's not insulting. A means to an end is a way of saying that a means is like a way. Like a means, an answer. It's a means to an end is a method to get what you want. A way to get what you want. That's a good way to explain it. A way to get what you want. So if you want to, you know, when you grow up, if you want to be allowed to take the car out when you're 16 years old and you get your driver's license, then you might want to do a little sucking up first. Right, parents? You don't want to get in trouble for not cleaning your room and then ask to take the car out. You don't want to get in trouble for not watering the plants while your parents are away for 2 days and then say, can you do this for me? Like a means to an end is where you would be thinking in your mind, if I do this stuff real good, then they'll let me do this. Does that make sense? And you might already have that figured out. You want to go to the fair, so you do this to be able to go to the fair. Well, that's sometimes the way we treat Jesus. I'm going to give money to the church because I really need more money than what I have, so I'm going to do that so then I know God will bless me. Do you see what I'm saying there? And that's true. God will bless you. But he won't bless you if your motive is to be blessed by stuff. So, a means to an end. Too often we use Jesus as a means to an end. Judas was out to get something from Jesus. Judas thought that Jesus was going to lead an armed battle against Rome. And when he figured out that that wasn't what Jesus had in plan, most scholars think that that's when he turned on Jesus, and that's when he went and sold Jesus out for the silver. Now, every once in a while, there's a story where someone's not wanting something from Jesus. And here's the key. If you're going to write down one thing today, here's the key to this scripture. Here's the key to this sermon. We don't come to Jesus because of what he can do for us. We come to Jesus because of what he has already done for us. You don't come to Jesus so that he'll do something for you. What he has already done for you is the most valuable thing that he can give you. Now, Logan, I get to explain this to you too a little bit. You see, To come to Jesus because we need something or want something from Him, that's not why we need to be seeking Jesus. We seek Jesus because we heard of what He's already done for us. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, so I'm not going to ask you, but I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to. But, folks, what has He already done for us? He died on the cross. He died on the cross because there was no chance of you being reconciled to God. There was no chance of you doing enough prayer, doing enough giving. You could sell everything you have and give it to the church, and that's not enough to make you right with God. When you sin against God, when you... David reminded us, every time you sin against your neighbor or someone else, you've sinned against God. Every time you've told a little white lie, you've sinned against God. And so, Jesus, God sent Jesus to die on the cross to take the penalty that you deserved. You deserve death. You deserve nothing. And Jesus took that penalty on the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead. We call that Easter, when Jesus was risen from the dead. And then He says to you that if you believe that, if you live like you believe that, then you will be saved. If you're born again, we talked about with the shirts 2 months ago. If you're born again, you'll be saved. If you're born of the Spirit, you'll be saved. So then, we still have it wrong, because there's a lot of preachers out there who lead people to believe once you get saved, then your spouse is going to treat you better. Or once you get saved, your financial problems are all going to clear up. Once you get saved, everything's going to be peachy. And we who have been around long enough, been Christians, you know that's not true. But what you do get is the promise of eternal life. There was somebody who I talked about expectations a couple of months ago in a sermon, and how I sometimes don't meet the expectations of people. I mean, I was talking about Jesus meeting expectations, and then I said sometimes I don't meet expectations as a pastor. And this person called me on the telephone, left a message, and said, "What do you expect from us? You know, you talked about what we expect from you. What do you expect from the congregation?" Isn't that something that someone would call me and ask that? And so, I got to thinking about it. I expect you to follow Jesus. And whatever that means for you, it means something different for you than what it does for me. The thing is, once we accept Christ and once we become Christians, it's still not about, do we ask Jesus for stuff? Yes. Do we ask Him for healing? Yes. Do we ask Him for all kinds of stuff? Yes. But it's more about, still, what we can do for Him. And the question I have written here is, after you are His, then what draws you closer to Him? Do you ever see the movie Hitch? We watched that late this week. We've seen it a dozen times. And has most people seen it? The premise is that this guy, he helps guys to get girls' attention and then helps them get a second date. and then helps that relationship build. And with good intentions, guys who really are in love with a woman, who maybe that woman wouldn't give the guy the time of day, and he helps him get a second date. Helps him get a first date, helps him get a second date. The thing about with Jesus is sometimes we act like we just want to go out on that first date, and then we don't work for a second date. We don't try to get a second date. I got saved when I was 10 years old, and I'm content with that, and I'm just laying back and waiting now. And it's no, you what? Once you have him, once you found him, once you're saved, then how can I draw closer to him? And it's different for each of us. For some of you, it's going to be at the True Vine Gospel sing tonight. You're going to go and you're just going to feel God's presence. And for some, like our friend Shay who's here, I think she probably feels close to him in Mexico. Do you feel close to him in Mexico? Diane, if I can share this, right? She said to me last night, or yesterday, don't you think it's hard, don't you think it's easier to feel close to God in Haiti? And I said, I do, but I think if you lived there all the time, it would be just like here. Mission trips, Jolynn, been to Oklahoma. Most of you, you have found Jesus. Or he has found you, however you want to term it. But the question now becomes, how do you grow closer to him? That's what he wants from you, is relationship. More than what you do, he wants you. Just like we should look for Jesus just to get Jesus, Jesus doesn't look to you to get anything out of you either. He just wants you. Isn't that a good ending to this sermon? Your motivation for looking for Jesus should be just to get Jesus. And his motivation for you is just to get you. I know, it makes no sense. Why would he want me? Why would he want a relationship with me? Anybody thinking that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not that awesome. I'm not that special. And yet he wants relationship with you. We have a friend here today who wants to share a little bit. When are you going back to Mexico? August 26th, and she's got a wedding in between now and then. Her sister's getting married. And so she had wanted to come, and this church has supported her in the last year, and she's going back to Mexico. She's not sure for how long, right? Sort of open-ended right now. I'm sure I can share about Greece, right? She has put in an application to go work in the sex trafficking industry in Greece. And so she is in Mexico until she figures out what God wants her to do next. But she wanted to come and share a few things this morning to thank you. And we're doing really good on time. It's only 9:13. So this is Shay Wolford. And many of you have seen her before. Don't be fooled by her size. She can handle herself. She's a rugby player. Right? Don't believe me? Come up and challenge her. Don't ask me to. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be here this morning with you all. I feel like I'm coming home, coming into this church. I've been here quite often. I just want to share a few quick things, probably about 10 minutes approximately. Is that okay? Okay. First of all, I want to emphasize the fact that this is not my ministry. What's happening in Mexico, this is an extension of your all's ministry. everybody that supports me financially and prayerfully, I wouldn't be there without you. I wouldn't be there without this church, to be quite honest. So I just wanted to share a few things to kind of update you on what's happening. I have been there for a year now in Guadalajara, Mexico. It's the second biggest city in Mexico. It's got about 8 million people, so it's the same as the entire state of West Virginia, just in this one little city. Well, not little, but... So I wanted to share first part of my ministry. I work at the orphanage. 3 days a week I go and help them with their English and tutor them in any subject that they're struggling in. And then part of my ministry is we have a network of home churches that meets throughout the week. We've got about 6 groups meeting now on different nights of the week, which is pretty exciting for us. And I've been discipling a young lady. Her name's Anna Karen, and she's 17. We first started meeting just for coffee at the local coffee shop in September, I believe. And that started, you know, just as boy talk and talking about school and everything. But then she asked me in November if we could start studying the Bible together. And I was like, yes, of course we can. That's essentially what I wanted to be doing. So we started reading the Bible together, and that has just been absolutely thrilling. She has such fresh eyes. She's never read the Word of God before. So seeing her excitement to read every week has just been totally reviving to me. She decided to follow the Lord in March, and she's wanting to get baptized here in the fall. So that's super exciting. But I wanted to share a story of just to kind of give you an idea of her personality. So every week, every Friday, we meet, and she reads throughout the week, and then we talk about if she has any questions or if there's anything she really wants to discuss. And so I asked her one Friday, so do you have any questions for this week? And she said, yeah. She starts flipping through her Bible, and she said, but I can't remember if it happened before or after Jesus turned that Lazarus dude into a zombie. I think we need to back up a little bit, talk about this some more. But that just kind of gives you an idea. She's 17 years old, like I said, never read the Word of God before, and it's just been absolutely thrilling to see how excited she gets over every little story and every little truth that she's reading right now. I also want to share about another friend. His name is Joaquin. I work with a missionary couple, Ralph and Ellen. And they've been in Guadalajara for 8, going on 9 years now. And Joaquin actually happened to go down the wrong street. He was looking for a pool, and he saw Ralph and Ellen's sign on their house that said free English classes. So he knocks on the door and asks about the free English classes, which is another way that we make connections with people down there. And he started meeting with Ralph every week to study English, and he started sharing about the depression in his life and just the need for something more. And that turned into a Bible study with Ralph. And 2 years ago, he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and he was just baptized in May before I came back here. And I wanted to share something that he shared with us at his baptism. We asked him and his wife to share because they both became followers of the Lord. And he said, through the Bible study with Ralph, God became more than just an idea. He became real and personal, a friend and a Savior. So that's just kind of wraps up our entire ministry, is we're just trying to bring God to people. In Mexico, it's largely Catholic, and it's more ritual than anything. They just go on Mass on Sunday morning because they have to, and then they don't really seek Christ throughout the week. So we really just want to make him more personal to people. People view him as this, you know, holy entity in the sky, but they don't view him as a savior, as someone personal that you can talk to on a regular basis. So that's really what we're all about. Also on the orphanage end of it, because like I said, those are my two main ministries. We started in February. We finally got the kids' English up enough to start memorizing Bible verses in English. So that was really, really exciting for me because that's something that I was working towards. So we've been memorizing Bible verses in Spanish and in English. And we had a picnic right before I came back in June. I've been trying another one of my major goals is getting the network of home churches to connect in our compassion ministry with the orphanage. So several people in the home churches, one guy is really good with computers. So he went to the orphanage and like set up their computer system to be the best that it could be. One guy was really good with bikes, so he went to the orphanage and fixed all the kids' bikes, which was really, really cool. And then there's this one lady named Ethelvina, and she has been going with us on a weekly basis. She started out just sewing the kids' clothes. Anything that had like a hole or a rip in it, she would mend that for them. And then it kind of turned into sewing classes for the kids. So she's been teaching them how to crochet and knit and sew, and they really view her as a grandmother figure, and so that's been really exciting to see her connection there. And another thing that we did was we hosted a picnic. Our network of home churches hosted a picnic for the orphanage kids. They planned games for them in the park that's really close to all of our houses. And so that was really fun to just see our kids interacting with the network of home churches kids. And also Marta Enrique, the parents at the orphanage, they got to have some adult time to actually talk to some adults because they don't get that very often. And they were able to share with our people in the home churches just more about their life on a daily basis, which would really make it more real for them. So that's something that was super exciting for me because it's really connecting my two aspects of ministry, the orphanage and the network of home churches. So yes, I am heading back August 26th. My sister's wedding is the 22nd, so I'm just leaving a few days after that. And I will be there until Christmas time for sure. I am thinking about extending it. There are some goals with the kids at the orphanage that I haven't met yet, and so I really want to meet those academic goals before I head out. And I really want to help Anna Karen solidify her relationship with Christ a little bit more before I leave. So I'm thinking about extending it until May. But again, I'm just kind of leaving it up to the Lord. Everyone keeps asking me, like, what are you going to do? I don't know. But what I'm trying to do is, I talked to your son about this, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing right now until the Lord makes it clear that I'm supposed to be doing something else. So yes, I put in an application with an anti-trafficking organization to go to Greece. So, and I put in a couple other applications with other anti-trafficking organizations, but I'm just going to continue doing what the Lord wants me to do until he makes it clear that I'm supposed to go somewhere else. So as of right now, I probably will be staying in Mexico. But again, if anybody wants to meet with me, like outside, grab lunch, grab coffee, see pictures of the kids, pictures of other parts of our ministry, the baptisms and everything, I would love to meet with you on a one-on-one basis or like a family basis or whatever. But again, thank you so much for your partnership in this ministry, and thank you again for listening to me this morning.
I'm in touch with it, so you can. I know, but I don't want to make you sick.
I live in Mexico.
Your immune system's pretty strong. So before you walk away, does anybody have any questions for Shay?
I especially got homesick at Thanksgiving time last year because I knew my whole family was together and I wasn't there, and it was the first Thanksgiving that I really missed. I get homesick for my mom's cooking. Definitely get homesick for that. Luckily, I'm able to Skype with them on a pretty regular basis with my family, so that's been pretty fun. I can do that. But there are certain foods and normal things here that we don't think about, Like, when I came home, I was throwing the toilet paper in the trash can instead of in the toilet because we don't do that down there. So my mom was like, So just little things like that. But yes. There are 11 kids from the ages of 4 to 13. We actually had one of them, one of the 13-year-olds, run away twice now. She's just at that age where she's starting to be extremely rebellious and doesn't want to follow the rules. So we're having to really work with her because it's not good for her to keep running and coming back. She can't do that. It looks bad for the other kids. So if you'll be praying for her, her name is Adriana. Please be praying for her. She's struggling right now, and I think Marta and Enrique don't really know what to do. So I know that's way more than what you asked for. You asked for a number, but sorry. There are, but they're not even close to what we have here. There is a...
The question was, is there any kind of assistance from the government for people who need help in Mexico?
Mm-hmm. We are actually... Our group of missionaries is actually paying for a psychologist to come in to work with the kids. I think he comes once or twice a week, and just kind of talks to the kids, because they've all been either physically, sexually, or emotionally abused, so they've got a lot of issues coming from that, and so we have a psychologist coming. The government actually requires a doctor to come in on a regular basis, a neurologist, and it's kind of like a social worker, but the government doesn't pay for it, so we've been assisting in that. So they have all these requirements, but they don't really help with getting them accomplished. It's called Rios en el Desierto, which means rivers in the desert. Or river in the desert. Singular. Sorry. Anybody else? Oh, that's a good question. I think the Lord has been preparing me practically my whole life. We started going on local mission trips when I was in middle school. We went down to Mississippi when Hurricane Katrina happened. I think it was Hurricane Katrina, pretty sure. So we started doing that, and I've been to Kentucky on trips and a couple other states on trips. And then when I was in high school, I went on my first overseas mission trip, actually to Mexico. And I've been on several since then. So I think he's really been preparing me since middle school, but I really knew that it was what I wanted to do late high school. And then he's just kind of been preparing me all through college and giving me all the tools that I need and the equipment that I need since then.
Oh, so that's interesting. You knew in high school, mm-hmm. but you finished college first.
Yes, I thought it was important to get an education, and I got my education in elementary ed so that I could use that degree to then get into other countries, because I didn't know where the Lord was going to call me, and if it was going to be into a closed country that wouldn't allow missionaries, I could go as a teacher. So that was kind of my plan. Thanks. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Pretty easygoing, as you can tell. That's right. That's kind of how I've been living, a few months at a time. So. A little nerve-wracking, but we just have to trust him.
Thank you.
And she's not here to ask you for anything today. She is just here to report to you what your money has done in Mexico. And apparently, it's brought at least two people to Christ.